Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good this evening. We're just short one co-host. He has yet to call in here, so hopefully he will be calling in here pretty soon. So I'll just start by asking, how was your Halloween, Craig? I heard you had you got attacked in the morning or something.
Yes, yesterday morning, Halloween morning, my house was egged. First thing, 5:30. So probably 5 minutes before I was walking out the door.
Now, why do you think you were egged? Do the neighborhood kids just not like you, Craig?
Oh yeah, I'm always out there yelling, "Get off my lawn!" And no, I. I have no idea. We were randomly targeted.
You must have gave out some cheap candy last year.
No. We we have like last year. I think we had like 3 trick or treaters, and this year we had like 15 or something because they opened a major housing development just down the street from us. So anyway, got a lot of kids. Last night, carved pumpkins, ate candy. Good times.
Very now, peachy. Did you take your kid trick-or-treating?
No, he's not into it.
Oh, he's not into it?
No, he's not into it.
Wow.
No. Yeah. So why would I go trick-or-treating when we have candy here? Which is a legit question, when you think about it.
Right. No kidding. But we are finally joined by other co-hosts on the line. Katrera, what's going on, Katrera?
Not too much. What's going on?
Not too much. Just listening to what Craig did for Halloween last night.
Oh. How's Mama's TV?
She's very happy. I bought her a 60-inch plasma.
60-inch? Wow.
Well,
if you ever want to buy me a 60-inch plasma TV, you can feel free to.
Me and my mom have a little bit different relationship than me and you. So.
True.
She's been wanting Netflix, so I just bought one of those TVs that's got Netflix and Hulu already on it. So.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah. So what did you do for Halloween, Katrera?
Didn't answer the door. Well, we've all been there. Y'all know y'all done it.
I just keep all the lights off.
Yeah.
Well, it started like 4 o'clock in the afternoon these days.
Well, it starts off early nowadays.
Yep.
I guess.
I don't like people, so I don't do the trick-or-treating thing.
Yeah, that'll only get better as you get older.
I'm like Brock Lesnar. I don't like human beings. The difference between me and Brock Lesnar is I'm not a fucking moose.
True. Probably never taking horse steroids either.
Well, I spent my Halloween napping and then going to work and having a real shitty ass night at work. But peak season starting a little early. Thanks to goddamn Amazon.com.
I'm going to work Halloween party this weekend, so
yeah,
I'll celebrate then.
Very cool. Very cool. Excuse me.
Cool. Well, I guess we can basically, since you know we had talked about having a team meeting on Wednesday last week, and that didn't last very long, so this morning I figured, okay, well, Halloween was last night. Let's just talk about all the Halloween havocs, thinking that maybe there wasn't that many, but then I think there's like freaking 10 or a dozen or so-and-so. So
I think
we're going to talk about
the team meeting. The problem with team meeting is nobody wanted to start it, so we never got off the ground.
Yeah.
It's just the first come, first serve. Whoever thinks of it the first time
yeah,
is the one that starts it.
Usually. Mm-hmm. Unless Craig has a bad one, then I might veto it. But
well,
you know, for the most part, yeah, we're desperate. We go with the first thing suggestion. But before, we're going to run down like a bunch of the Halloween havocs, which there's some incredible Halloween havocs out there.
Hmm.
But let's talk about, I think Craig mentioned like we could talk about some of Rey Mysterio's costumes or just, you know, costumes that might be sticking out in our memory before we get to the Halloween havocs. Like Rey Mysterio, you know, he's famous for doing the superheroes. Like I remember a couple years ago, he even went a little by country where he was like a Captain America and Mexican Captain American. And he's had some good ones.
I remember it was at the 97 Halloween Havoc. He was the Phantom. The Phantom movie came out. I don't know if you guys remember
that.
It was like he was in a purple bodysuit.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually gimmick infringement because there is a Phantom in Mexico. Actually, it's the El Hijo del Phantom. But yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, he's always had some cool stuff, especially on WrestleMania. You know, he's been like the Flash, Superman. He was Avatar after an Avatar came out. There's a lot of cool shit. I mean, he's real good at having.
He was the Joker 1 year.
Yeah, he was the Joker. I remember when he was the Silver Surfer. He looked horrible because all that paint came off.
Yeah.
It all came off and he got all over on, I think when he and Chavo were wrestling, I think Chavo ended up a little bit more silver than he did. It all rubbed off on him.
If you type in Rey Mysterio Mania costumes and get the Bing search going, there's one where he's wearing what can only be described as a peacock on his head.
I think that was a throwback to when he was like Calibri. It was a hummingbird when he first started. I believe that's what his name was. And I think that was kind of like a throwback to that, his first name.
He looks like either a Native American chief or a peacock.
Well, yeah. It's like some Aztec warrior. It's like some Aztec warrior headgear thing.
Do they look any worse than a hunter coming up as Conan the Barbarian and it's thrown with his water bottle in his hand? That was stupid.
That was
awesome.
Man,
he's wearing all this fur. He's on a throne. He's got a water bottle in his hand. I don't know why that makes me laugh so much.
Wow. I always find it funny when you're watching like these old timey movies, these futuristic movies, you know, and they're you know wielding swords and fencing basically. And yet they're on a spacecraft.
Well, Hunter's going to be the type when he's like Vince's age, he's going to be like in his late 60s, 70s, and he's going to be coming out with a water bottle.
Yeah, probably
so. It'll
probably still be all jacked up.
I remember the 1 year he was, I think they were kind of like doing the same thing, except it just like he had this, it was real dark and they like focused on him. He had this headgear on, but then when the lights came back on, he just had his gear on or something like that. It was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Now, like, I think other countries have taken advantage of costumes more than in the U.S. I mean, you know, we've had Ray and few other people, but like, you know, in Japan, they had like Freddy Krueger and Jason and, you know, I think like Dutch Silver and Eddie Leatherface, yeah, Leatherface, and you know, they really took advantage, and they were pretty over in FMW.
Humongous?
Oh yeah.
Who?
Humongous scared the shit out of me when I first seen him.
Humongous?
Lord Humongous, yes.
Oh, Lord, yeah, he was. And there's been multiple Lord Humongouses. I know Sid Vicious was one for a time, but. Yeah, I remember he came, and it was actually in San Antonio. There was actually, it was Lord Humongous, and then they had, like, a Mad Max, who was some other jacked-up dude. And
Mad Max, a Super Max.
Yeah, yeah. They were just two big old muscular dudes. And they sucked, but they were, you know, big and scary looking.
Why you throw fists at Humongous? That don't make no sense to me.
The what?
Why you try to punch the guy in the face? That didn't make no sense.
Right? Didn't, like, Terry Taylor give him didn't Terry Taylor give him the five-arm one time or the six-arm, whatever they call it?
Yeah, the five-arm because better than a four-arm. I always love the name of that move. It's a five-arm. It's better than a four-arm.
I remember,
and that was funny because, like, it was, I mean, they had the costume exactly like from the movie, you know. I'm surprised there was never any, like, you know, hey, you can't be you doing that shit.
Yeah, that was when, that was where the Road Warrior name came from, the movie, you know.
Yeah.
It's a great remember,
movie. The scariest wrestler I ever saw when I first started watching wrestling, and people are going to laugh at me about this, the scariest wrestler I ever saw was Exotic Adrian Street.
How did I know you were going to say that?
My God. It's just, this person can't be real. And he was all, I mean, not so much as a wrestler, but doing the gimmick. I mean, he was five stars. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And he was a good singer, too. He had a couple of videos.
In my tape trading days, I would watch, like, IWA from Japan and see Leatherface come out with the chainsaw. And go into the crowd with it, and people scattering everywhere throughout the building with this madman wielding a chainsaw. And he always managed to put it down right before he walked up. But
I think one Leatherface, I think, was Corporal Kirshner.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. It was Corporal Kirshner. Until he got thrown in jail for something. I think he beat
and then he died, but he didn't really die.
Oh,
who's
the other
like,
one?
Didn't they refuse to apologize for that?
I think so. I remember it was on WWE.com or something like that, and then, like, the next day, well, Corporal Kirshner, we got this interview recap. Okay, well, was it done, like,
that
before
was, like,
he died?
when Gorilla Monsoon, didn't, like, Gorilla Monsoon say, like, Superstar Billy
Graham
died or something? Yeah.
Yeah,
and then he refused
and, like,
to retract
Billy.
It?
Yeah.
Even though Billy was still alive?
Remember when Chemo died?
You have to refresh my memory on that one.
The mixed martial arts guy?
Yeah.
He died, and then he came back to life the next day.
Oh.
It was amazing.
Right? It's crazy how that happens.
Who was the other Leatherface? There was somebody famous that donned the Leatherface gimmick. The Doug... Oh, shoot.
Well, I know there was some heat in Japan because Jason the Terrible stole the Leatherface costume when he was locked up.
I think it might one of them might have been Midian.
That might be it.
Phineas Godwin. Yeah, it might have been because the Leatherface was Memphis, and I think he was there around Memphis, and I think that may be who it is.
To me, like,
I just
one
remember
of my favorite... Oh, go ahead.
They were just I was watching like this promoter USWA, and Eric Embry was bringing him in, so they just like played scenes from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre to build him up from the original film. It's pretty awesome.
Well, the original film, there's not even that much that happens, but it's so goddamn scary.
I think the only gory thing is when he falls down and the chainsaw lands on his leg for like a split second. And when the hitchhiker gets mowed over by the Mack truck, that's pretty awful.
Well, even like in the beginning when the dude like cuts the guy with the little box cutter, it wasn't a box cutter, like which you would use when you shave or something.
Mm-hmm. Scary.
Even, I mean, that's not even that gory, but at the time when you see it, it's like it was a scary scene. It's like how times have changed, you know. But the one that, to me, like, you know, when I think of costumes, you know, you have to think about fucking Kamala the Ugandan giant. And, you know, big old black guy from Mississippi being a Zulu savage from Uganda. You know,
imagine if they did it today. People would flip the fuck out.
Oh yeah, no shit.
We ought to do a show. Come up with a show, and talk about stuff that they did back in the day that you could never do now.
Wouldn't fly.
Yeah.
This wouldn't fly in 2013.
Yeah, there's
I would never
a whole
go
lot
back
of
here
it.
Like
I mean,
an Indian or paint myself black. They're not saying that.
Right.
Even. That's why throw up.
Even right. Like Akeem. You imagine if somebody came out, a white boy came out doing the Akeem?
It's okay when white people do it. We've got dogs. Put a black person in there. It's like, holy shit, we just hit race relations back 500 years.
I don't know. I have a feeling Al Sharpton would be all upset. Just
probably.
Saying.
Didn't he? Yeah, he did host Raw one time.
Yep.
Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, he did.
That was weird.
That guy's a carny. Tell him.
And then I guess we got, not really a costume, but a gimmick that's perfect for Halloween is Kevin Sullivan's devil-worshipping gimmick.
That was creepy as hell.
Yeah.
These were a bunch of people I didn't really care. I didn't care to see actually wrestle, but I thought the gimmick was pretty out there, pretty cool.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, he took it to the extreme for a while. I mean, he was like, you know, some of the, you know, upside down crosses that he had on his face paint and just like, you know, it was I didn't actually see the TV, but just seeing the pictures from the aftermath is like, goddamn, that's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm. He did those promos where you thought, that was an awesome promo, but you don't understand one damn thing he's talking about.
Right.
He goes to the Tree of Woe and talks to the lady with the third eye or something doing it like that.
He would say shit the Ultimate Warrior would say, but you could actually understand what Kevin Sullivan was saying.
And then the purple haze came out of the ocean to join the group.
You know, he was old when by that point, man. He was still all jacked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude was crazy.
Go ahead. I was going to say another Rey Mysterio one was, actually at the WrestleMania in Seattle, he was the Flash.
Yes, he was. That was...
Speaking of the Flash, I'm going to have to just sidetrack the show here. You know, this past weekend... I went to the Alamo City Comic-Con, and we went in there 5 minutes, and we almost got arrested because we cut in line right by where the ticket thing was, and some guy in front of us made a comment, and my one buddy's like, why don't you mind your own fucking business? And then the guy goes, you're bullying me. I'm going to go tell the cops. And he actually went and walked over and started talking to a cop, and we stayed in line, and we got our tickets and hauled ass in. They never came and said anything, but...
Hmm. Yeah. You'd think somebody at Comic-Con would be used to being bullied.
Right?
I know there's a shock, right?
but I wasn't shocked when I started to think, you know what? I guarantee you San Antonio has to have the world's fattest, cosplayers?
Cosplayers.
Cosplayers, yeah. Because I saw the world's fattest Iron Man. I saw the world's fattest Superman. I saw the world's fattest Thor. I saw the world's
fattest
everything. But the very fattest, fattest guy in the costume, of course, had to be wearing the Flash.
Hmm.
I was like, he must have hurt his leg or something. Can't run no more.
I don't understand that cosplay stuff. It's weird.
Maybe he just eats really quickly.
It's pretty cool. There was one chick who was Rogue from like the comic book and the cartoon.
Oh.
I mean, badass. And then there was another chick who was Gambit from the comic book, including having black contacts with like red pupils. Like he would have in some comics when he was doing his power. It was the most. It was incredible.
How bad was
so,
And then I pretty much joined the NWO this past weekend, you know, hanging out with my boys, the Wolfpack, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, X-Pac, Buff Bagwell, Scott Norton, and even Virgil was there. I had to give Virgil some money. I felt so bad.
and
Bret Hart. I got to
meet Bret Hart. Go to Ed's Facebook page and check out the photo. Ed has grown out his beard, and his hair is getting longer. To the comment that I made, gosh, Daniel Bryan has really let himself go.
Daniel Bryan wishes he looked this good.
when we were talking about little gimmicks and things that reminded you of Halloween, the first thing that came to my mind was in the Attitude Era, The Undertaker, when he was doing the... how do I describe that gimmick? He's trying to sacrifice Stephanie McMahon and crucifying Stone Cold Steve Austin, and that was some pretty
ministry stuff, right?
Yeah, the ministry stuff. It was very. I remember at the time not letting my daughter watch it, and my wife saying I don't know if this is okay to watch anymore. And because it got silly there for a while, not just with that, but he couldn't go to a live event without girls lifting their tops.
The good old days.
Off.
Speaking of, like, the Undertaker and gimmicks, do you remember the one, I guess it was Raw, where him and Kane had the super power off? And they were throwing lightning and fire at each other.
Yeah, I remember that. That stuff you get.
That was some awesome
stuff. He got a pass on a lot of stuff just because, you know, who he was. You know.
I mean, he pretty much wrestled every monster out there, from like Giant Gonzalez to Kamala to just any big old weirdo.
I still love the Royal Rumble 94 when he floated to the ceiling after dying in the casket. I don't care what anybody says. That shit was awesome.
Or when his hand came out from the ground. The Undertaker's died better than anybody.
And more times, by the way.
Well, Paul Bearer died more times than him before he actually passed out. Man, that sucks. I'm over here thinking, I'm making a joke, and it's like, oh, shit, he just died.
Yeah.
Paul Bearer, now that was an awesome character. Talk about somebody getting into a character and just like playing it perfectly right there.
Yep.
Didn't he get like put in like cement or something? Like
oh yeah.
Yeah, Taker killed him.
And Kane put him in the freezer one time.
Now it's like, who's killed him more, the Undertaker or Kane?
Undertaker. Remember throwing face first down the manhole.
Yes.
I don't know how they work that. They like have a big ass mattress at the bottom they fell on.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was like a slide or something.
I remember when the Taker, he was injured and Taker busted into his house and said, "Do you think I forgot where you lived?" and beat the shit out of him and dumped the sofa over. I remember when Kane, they went to cook the Undertaker's parents and he chokeslammed him into the casket with the bones.
You know, come to think of it, Gold Dust, his
quote unquote costume that he usually wears to the ring. And lately, he's been painting his face up like one of the Sith off of the Clone Wars cartoon series. But back in the Attitude Era, he took it to the next level on some of that stuff. I remember him being Baby New Year one year, pacifier and diaper. And as I remember, I think by the end of the evening, Stone Cold had thrown him into a honey bucket that was set up in the middle of the ring.
Rapper 316.
Yeah, Rapper 316. That's right. He was always doing some weird stuff.
When him and Booker T were kind of like doing like movie things, and I just remember one time he was dressed up like the Crocodile Hunter, and he found X-Pac, and he's all, bye, Cracky.
And then he shows asleep on the couch in that dress room, and every time he snores, he says, oh, cheeseburger, oh, cheeseburger. He said when X-Pac was in there, I watched that one like a while back, and it was still funny to me. He said, it's the elusive Amazon sewer rat. They tend to suck, and then he ran off.
Oh, man, that was some funny shit.
Yeah. Halloween. I want to start getting into some Halloween Havoc results here.
I'm good. Well, they're all on Wikipedia. But since
yep,
there's so many, because there's actually, like, what, 12 of them?
Went
why
from
don't we
89...
Let Couture...
Yeah.
Why don't we let Couture pick the most? Okay. Why don't we let Couture pick the most memorable ones, and we'll just, you know, do those.
Actually, you know, sometimes like in the latter years, from like the maybe like the later '90s on to the end, they're kind of shitty. So some of them probably be up. So if you just want to start from the first one, so they're actually
okay,
better.
Right.
So
that's fine.
Yeah, the first Halloween Havoc took place October 28th, 1989 at the Philadelphia Civic Center and, of course, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Curtain Jerker match was Tom Zenk defeating Mike Rotundo.
That was a good little match.
Sure. We also, I won't go over all the matches, but I will hit the highlights. The Freebirds defeated the Dynamic Dudes, if you remember that. That's Shane Douglas and one Johnny Ace.
And they were booed out of the building in Philadelphia. I remember
the Freebirds retained the tag team titles.
I remember
basically Shane Douglas and Johnny Ace were basically like skateboarder dudes or surfer dudes, just trying to be cool and the only one of them was brave enough to try and ride the skateboard.
Yes,
I think it was Johnny.
Carried it. Yeah.
It's also amazing that. The Cuban Assassin is on a pay-per-view.
I
remember Cornette talking about this match because he was in their corner. So there was a big banner in the crowd that says Johnny sucks Shane's cock.
Wow.
And then they came back to the dressing room and somebody said, Johnny, what are you doing? He looks sad. He said, I'm just going to go suck Shane's cock, I guess. So.
Okay.
And then it says Doom. Is this the mask Doom or the unmasked Doom?
This is the debut, so it was the mask.
Ron Simmons and the Natural Butch Reed. Woman.
They were trying to go for the cheap heat with the white lady, with the black guys.
This was probably a hard-hitting match. They wrestled the Steiners.
They were actually better when they took the mask off.
Yeah, they were way better without the mask.
And as Jim Ross said, their identities are the worst kept secret in wrestling.
But
second from the top.
Who could forget the Road Warriors versus the Skyscrapers?
Yes.
It sounds good, but it actually wasn't. Those kind of matches sound good on paper, but you know, when they happen, there's not much to them.
Not to mention it went 11:39.
Yeah. This was
11:39, and the only guy selling was probably Dan Spivey.
Sure.
That's true.
The main event was Ric Flair and Sting. They defeated the Great Muta and Terry Funk in a Thunderdome cage match.
It was, yeah, the cage, it had, on the top of the cage, it had all this Halloween stuff like cobwebs and,
yeah,
you know, like burlap sacks or something like that, and they caught fire, and Tommy Young went up
sure
there
did.
And dealt with his hands, and then moved the spray on the fire to just put
yep.
it out the rest of the way.
He blew the green mist at the fire.
Well, I was thinking, well, how can Tommy Young go to the top of the cage? Isn't it supposed to be electrified? Little
well,
did I know they didn't really do that back then.
Well,
it was just a
This is, they had some wild matches with this, like in this feud with like the Great Muta and Terry Funk and Dick Slater, and then was it the Dragon Master or something?
Yeah.
Just wacky heels. Just the Great
this
Muta
and
a bunch of wacky guys.
This was coming off when Terry Funk put the garbage sack over Flair's head. You remember when he did
that? The plastic bag, and he taped it around his head. And it was like
yeah.
he was actually
he
trying
to
murder Ric Flair on TV.
Maybe trying to give him brain damage. I don't know. Bruno was the referee
last
night. Bruno San Martino.
Yeah, Bruno.
And they did the – I hate the length, you know, when they do the – where you got to throw in the towel. I hate when the heel manager gets hit and the towel goes flying so the match is over. That was so stupid. I always thought those kind of things.
Either him or one of the Hart – family
yeah.
throwing it in.
And then, like, with Gary Hart being the manager, like, talking about Halloween, to me, Gary Hart, like, he was one of the first managers that I ever saw live. He was just, to me, he always came off as just as evil. He always came off as just, like, an evil dude, and he used to scare the shit out of me when I was a kid.
I go back to that. When I finally heard that story, that plane crash he was in, that was, like, the craziest story I've ever heard. You know, what happened
yeah.
to him. I mean, I can't remember who else was in the plane, but the plane crash and...
Austin Idol.
Yeah, Austin Idol was in the plane crash and he just, like, he comes out of... He survives the crash and just, like, coming out of this bayou or, you know, or like a lake or something, he's butt naked, his eyes hanging out of his head or something like that. It was weird.
Yeah.
Something you would hear that you're surprised they survived.
Found like a farmhouse and banged on the farmhouse and they were like, you know, leave us alone or we'll call the cops. And he's like, please call the cops.
This Uncle Fester looking guy with no clothes on in my front yard.
Well.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a crazy story.
That takes us to Halloween Havoc 1990. This took place October 27th. 1990 at the UIC Pavilion in Chicago. I noticed that one of the dark matches featured the Hustler, Rip Rogers. He defeated Reno Riggins. Had Tommy Rich and Ricky Morton defeating the Midnight Express. This thing went 20 plus minutes.
That was the best match on the show, I think.
No,
sure.
Actually,
yeah, it was. You know, by this point, Tommy was over the hill, but he could, I mean, as far as, like, the fans accepting him as being a main event, he wasn't that anymore, but he could still go. I mean, Tommy could, I mean, he was so weird because he was, like, so badass and so, like, the number one babyface, and then he was just kind of, like, an afterthought, but he could still go, and then Ricky Morton, of course, you know, he could probably still go right now, even though he doesn't,
mm-hmm.
he looks like he's almost decrepit. But and then you know Midnight Express, you know. So I remember this match. It was good. I was into it the whole time.
Yeah.
And speaking of costumes,
beating...
yeah, the Youngbloods, Mark and Chris, the Renegade Warriors, one of many names that they had.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I had Chris on the show a few, 6-8 months ago. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Never got back to me though.
We have him on the show. I can't remember.
Yeah, he was Matt Farmer.
We were having Matt Farmer and Nikki Six, and they were just happening to be at a show, and he was there, so they just gave him the phone, and we talked to him for like 30, 40 minutes.
15, 20 minutes?
Wow.
It's funny because that's like we've had surprise guests and they've both been Indians. Like, you remember when Steve Gatorwolf called in?
Yeah, Steve Gatorwolf called in. I remember that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They wrestled the Freebirds.
Yeah, they wrestled the Freebirds.
The Freebirds had little Richard Marley in their corner. It was Rocky King.
He was still there as Bad Street. What about a tag match on the show?
He was their number one roadie and best friend was how they promoted him. They were the
Rocky King, I loved Rocky King. He was like my favorite jobber in WCW.
He was good.
There's a match on here that I can't overlook, even though it went 3 minutes and 15 seconds. The Junkyard Dog defeated Moondog Rex.
See, these are one of those matches. I don't know how they make it on these shows. It's like they're saying.
Because he's a dog, man. It's a Junkyard Dog.
They're both dogs. One that Moondog, one's a Junkyard Dog. Boy.
The Moondogs, that's a perfect team for like a Halloween, you know what I mean? Basically you had the two ones that I remember were Rex and Spot from WWE, but there's been many Moondogs. Isn't Ed Moretti a Moondog?
He sure was. Moondog Ed Moretti, one of the best matches I ever had, that's for sure.
What is a Moondog? I never understood that.
You got me. I know that you remember that old surfing show, Gidget? From way back in the day.
With Sally Field?
I know that he was like the Moondoggy or whatever they called him. He was a surfer dude.
But that's not what the Moondogs in wrestling were.
They were a surfer.
Chewing on bones.
To me, like the Moondogs, it's like some kind of like southern country, like the country, like,
yokel.
I don't know what to say. They're just like their country. They were basically like jeans,
country
jeans, just ripped up jeans. Yeah, like southern cavemen, basically.
Yeah.
And they had their big bones. They brought these big-ass bones with them that they would use as their weapons. And they were actually, I remember seeing a couple matches with them against the Fabulous Ones that were actually really good matches. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when they were young.
In Memphis with the Fabulous Ones.
Yeah. And I remember seeing them in WWE, seeing them in Georgia. I mean, they were like the Samoans. They were like, you either had the Samoans or you had the Moondogs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Moondogs, they were more like, in WWF, they were more like jobbers to the stars where you could throw them out there. You could have like maybe, you could throw them out there like with the, I don't know, say like the Bulldogs or Can-Am Connection or somebody like that and, you know, have a good 10-15 minute match.
Mm-hmm. The first one I saw was on WWF TV Saturday night. It might have even been like a Superstars, but there was a rare appearance by the new world champion Hulk Hogan, and he defeated Moondog Spot very quickly, and they had a quick squash on
the show. They held the belts once, I think, managed by Captain Lou.
Yeah. They also, one of them died in the ring.
Yeah, Moondog Spot
right outside the ring.
Wow. Well, he was in like one of those. It was like one of those old when they were doing like those old Memphis shows. You know, like the legend shows, and they had like a battle royal with like a Rock and Roll Express, Moondog Spot, Brian Christopher, and Lawler, and all that, and he slumped down in the corner and died.
You'd think they would take him out to the field and shoot him like a real... Never mind.
That's so unfunny, dude. Wow.
Well, he's a dog. Take him up behind the barn and... Anyway.
I saw the last match of New York called Dog. Did I ever tell you that?
The what?
Hey, what?
I saw the Junkyard Dog's final match at a casino
in
Pittsburgh, Mississippi. And then,
really?
Like, a few days later, he was going to surprise his daughter at her college graduation, and she didn't know he was coming, and he hit. He was in a car wreck and died.
How long before that was he on ECW, that ECW pay-per-view?
Oh, that was like in 90. I think it might have been the same year, as a matter of fact.
I think it was.
Yeah, because I remember
It was on. They did like they had him and Dick Slater there. They're just kind of acknowledging them, you know, like wrestling legends in the state of Georgia.
And then in the back, New Jack hit him or tried to hit him or something.
He said, New Jack he sent him some money or something. He never paid him back. And
he owed him some money for some crack. And he's like, he's telling him, hey, you owe me some, you know, you owe me money. And he's like, hey, I'm the dog.
what he said, and don't nobody get mad at me. I'm just going to say what the man said. He said, oh, you money? I'm a dog, nigga. He said, New Jack said, I don't give a fuck who you is.
Well, you know, for some reason, even though he was horrible for most of his career after he left, you know, Mid-South, and we had a couple good years in WWE before he got, like, too fat, but I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the dog for some reason.
Yeah, he was, I mean, I didn't, that's when I was watching him, I wasn't in the mode of, no psychology in this match. Yep. Bad facials, you know, shit like that. I was still a kid, so.
And, you know, all four headbutt spot, you know.
But, hey, he was a big star and he was a draw, so what do I know?
Mm-hmm.
What do anybody know that complains about him?
Yeah.
To finish up this pay-per-view, we also had Stan Hansen defeating Lex Luger.
Well, you're glossing over another team that...
Yes, I am.
Perfect for Halloween, and that is the Master Blasters of Blade and Steel. And which one was Kevin Nash, and which one was,
Steel Green?
He
was Steel. Kevin Nash was, and Al Green was what was the guy's name?
Al Green.
No, what was it? Not Steel. What was
Al
the other
Green.
Name? Not Steel, but the other one. What was his gimmick name?
Blade.
Blade and Steel, okay.
Yeah.
They were all
horrible. Yeah, they were just around for like a couple things. And I think Kevin Nash was actually kind of, I almost want to say he was a little lean at this time.
Yeah, this is when he was first starting, so.
Yeah. The wellness hadn't kicked in yet. Speaking of Kevin Nash, you know, I don't know, like you saw those pictures, Craig. The dude's arms are like unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fucking still jacked. And Kevin Nash, yeah, he I don't want to say he has a belly, but he's not like slim trim, you know,
mm-hmm.
but man, those arms are freaking huge. And Scott Hall actually, you know, and he didn't look like he was 100%, but, you know, he looked a lot better than he had, you know, in some of the things like the ESPN thing and some of the other shows. And, X-Pac was real cool, but you can just see how you remember that the Lightning Kid, the 1-2-3 Kid. He looked like he was 16 years old. You know, the road has owned him. You know, he looks his age now.
If you know, there are better podcasts than the one you're listening to right now, and I don't want to shock anybody, but Sean Waltman was on two parts with Stone Cold, and that's some of the most riveting podcasting I've heard in a very long time. You can go out your way to check out the Stone Cold podcast with him on it. Good stuff.
Steve Austin was having Bruce Pritchard on this week, so it might be something to check out.
There's two episodes with him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I resent you saying Stone Cold has a better podcast than us. There's no way. He might be a good wrestler, but you know, podcasting is not his specialty.
Yeah, but he has the money to surround himself with professionals. Just saying.
I know, right?
And just being who he is, he gets fucking awesome, better guests than anybody else.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Like he can call up anybody to be on the fucking show, and they'll be on the show.
Yeah,
he can call up like the fucking Rock, and you know, Rock will be on the show or something like that.
Well, speaking of the NWO, if you check out Cole Cabana's podcast with Scott Hall this last week, that was also very good. So, anyway, it takes us to the main event of this show.
You're passing over the best match on the show, the Steiners and the Nasty.
Yes, sir.
That was an awesome
Steiners
match.
Steiners and the Nasty Boys. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I apologize. See, I would have gone with Doom against Flair and Arn.
No. Founders and Nasty Boys.
There you go.
They just beat that shit at each other. It was awesome. This was when the Steiners were doing. But it was like Steiner matches were like, they were like exhibitions on like suplexes and high flying, you know, come off the top rope with the bulldog with the guy on another guy's shoulders. And Nasty Boys, this was the best match I've ever seen them have.
Well, what was really great about this match is you had the Nasty Boys who were, you know, they were just brawlers basically. But they used to beat the shit out of, like, you know, people who were lower than them. You know, they used to fucking rough people up, and now you had a match where it's two guys who just roughed the living shit out of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this was a match that actually made me think of them as they were a better tag team coming out of this, and I could, like, get into some of the stuff that, you know, some of their matches after this, because, man, this was just, like, a hell of a fight.
Yeah. The main event was pretty crazy.
The greatest Frankenstein I've ever seen. He just dumped Brian Knobs right on his head. Boy, he killed him.
The greatest Frankenstein I ever saw him do, he did it to Ron Simmons.
Yeah, it's Capital Combat.
Yeah.
When they won the world titles, or Doom won titles. At the 16-minute mark. I'm just kidding.
Now, to wrap this up, in the main event, Sting defeated Sid Vicious to retain the NWA Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
Well, you're glossing over the fact that they kind of brawled to the back, and then they came back, and Sid Vicious pinned Sting, but apparently it wasn't Sting. They had tied Sting up in the back, and it was a returning Barry Windham who cut his hair off. And actually, I thought it was Sting until the real Sting came out, you know what I mean? I don't know how or why. They're totally different, but yeah, they had the wackiness, and then, you know, of course, Sting ends up winning in the end.
This was the point where I can feel like the NWA or whatever is getting like a kind of WWF eyes with the goofiness with the finishes, and I mean, an NWA world title match, and somebody got tied up in the back, and the imposter got pinned to lose. I mean, Sam Mushin must be rolling over in his grave. I don't know if he's dead then. I'm not sure.
Right.
Yeah.
You'd never see shit like that back in the day. Not with the NWA title. I mean, you had crazy shit like that, but not with the NWA title.
And I hate when they make guys like Barry Windham or Flair cut their hair. They just look so weird. It's hard to take them seriously.
Yeah.
Especially Flair, he had the long hair.
He looked gay when he cut his hair, dude, honestly.
Yeah. He looked like a geek.
It took me a long time to get used to it.
I was glad when he finally grew it back. When he went to the WWF, he grew it back out. But, I don't know, Flair without the long hair just didn't Flair to me.
Yeah.
That takes us to Havoc 91, October 27th, 1991. From the UTC Arena in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm going to let
And if you're going to have a match with a Halloween theme, this is the pay-per-view for you.
I'm going to let Contreras describe this match. We had Elegante, Sting, and the Steiners. They defeated Abdullah the Butcher, the Diamond Stud, Cactus Jack, and Big Van Vader in a Chamber of Horrors match.
Yeah, basically it was the Thunderdome from the first Halloween Havoc a couple of years earlier. And they had this, the whole thing was they had these coffins in there that these masked guys, or I guess were called the ghouls, ghouls would come out and attack the baby faces. I don't know why they didn't have any that would attack the heels, but whatever. And the whole gimmick was halfway through the match, they were going to lower this electric chair into the ring from the top of the cage. And then you had to put your opponent in there and strap him in, put a little headpiece on, and go up to the side of the cage where the switch was. And you had to throw the switch to electrocute
him. Right.
The switch went into business for itself.
Yeah. Basically what happened was Rick Steiner gave the belly-to-belly to Abdullah the Butcher into the chair.
and he's locking him in, and Cactus is up there ready to throw the switch, except the switch has already fallen to their own position because of this raggedy setup they have. So he has to pick the switch back up to the off position and then do the switch. But he doesn't realize that Abdul the Butcher's in the chair. Like, it took a 2 or 3 minutes to get the stool in the chair, you know. I mean, like, he did not look back for the last 2 or 3 minutes. He threw the switch, and Abdul the Butcher did the greatest sell job of somebody being electrocuted I've ever seen.
That was the most he ever sold all time, all his life, and he's been wrestling for 50 years.
This was the greatest Abdul the Butcher of all time. So I don't care. You can go back to, you've seen one match, you've seen them all pretty much. Abdul the Butcher, he takes the full count, he takes the pencil, double count out, double DQ, wash, rinse, repeat, you know. So.
Somewhere in there.
And then
after
he was electrocuted and killed on live pay-per-view, they sent all these Java wrestlers who were dressed up like zombie interns almost, the ghouls or whatever. I forgot what they called them. They came out, but then Abdullah the Butcher sprung back to life, and him and Cactus Jack beat the shit out of all of them and then happily went back to the dressing room.
Then this poor guy, they had the big ramp there, and they had to take the ramp, part of the ramp down to get the cage down there, so they're putting it back, and they're putting it in place, and this poor man, Abdul just stomps him in the head and knocks his glasses off. He didn't know that was coming, and maybe just doing something to be a dick. My God, he kicked this fool in the head. Yes, this match was 5 stars. I don't care what anybody says. It's awesome.
That was the first match on the show.
It's not even 5 stars. It's 10 stars.
This is one of those matches. I can't rate this as a bad match. It was too damn entertaining.
He had the television champion, Steve Austin, and he fought Dustin Rhodes to a time limit draw.
That was an awesome match. Both of them juiced. Remember?
Wait, which match? I'm sorry. Yeah. I missed it.
Dustin Rhodes and Steve Austin for the TV title.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty good. Your favorite PNUs was on this show. Basically, you had PNUs, who was a fat rapper who cried when he got his face busted open that one time. And then you had Big Josh, who was Matt Bourne doing his lumberjack gimmick. And they wrestled the Creatures, who were Joey Maggs and Johnny Rich.
And Ed has to be looking at a rundown of the car because he can't possibly know that.
No, he is. So am I.
Yeah, I am.
There's some crazy stuff on here. Van Hammer against Doug Summers. Are you kidding me?
This was a horrible, horrible, horrible match.
And it was only a minute and 13 seconds.
This was
what happened
horrible.
To Michael Hayes? Do you know what happened to Michael Hayes?
What do you mean? Why he was hurt?
Van Hammer.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Van Hammer against Michael Hayes, but Summers took Michael Hayes' spot.
I don't know, Michael Hayes, because Jimmy Jam Garvin faced Johnny B. Badd later in the show, and Michael Hayes was in the corner with his arm in a sling. At the end of the match, he pulled his arm out of the sling so he could do the left hand or something on Teddy Long or something. So I don't know.
Okay. Huh.
Bill Kazmaier against Oz, who was Kevin Nash with flour in his hair, and you know he hung out with Dorothy and the Tin Man and shit.
Sure. And anyway, the main event. Oh my gosh! Yes. Go ahead.
We're missing when the enforcer slammed Barry Windham's hand into the car door, or the car door on Barry Windham's hand and broke his wrist.
Wasn't it like a Shelby Cobra they were in or something?
I don't know. It was a convertible, and I can't
remember.
It was a
nice car.
Yeah, and Eric Bischoff was out there interviewing him, and he was shaking hands, and then Arn Anderson and Larry Zbyszko show up, and they grabbed him by the hand, and then Zbyszko slammed his hand in the door. So that's how they got him out of there, and it led to Steamboat coming back a few weeks later with Dustin to win the titles.
Mm-hmm.
By the way.
And then you guys also forgot, besides having the masked creatures, they also had the masked Halloween Phantom who wrestled Tom Zink, and the Halloween Phantom turned out to be Rick Rude.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. This was one of those things where as soon as he started wrestling under the mask, I know who it was. It was, you know, just, you can tell.
Well, there's not too many people who had abs like Rick Rude. I mean, one thing, you know, Rick Rude always be remembered for more than anything, well, you know, when he had his catchphrase, you know, when he would talk on the mic, he was awesome. But those abs, I mean, he's got the most famous abs of all time.
He was in a bodysuit.
Was he?
No. But yeah, this was...
Well, anyway.
Poor Tony Schiavone, he ruins it. He said he wins the match with the neckbreakers, Rude Awakening. He said, you know, that move in some circles is called a Rude Awakening. So, okay, well, he just gave it away. Like they've ever called that neckbreaker the Rude Awakening when Rick Rude ain't in the fucking company. Come on.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Yeah, that's when Paul Lee came back and they managed him, and they started the Dangerous Alliance with Medusa and all the other guys.
That was some good shit. I love that era.
Yeah.
And for to finish off the 91 Havoc, Lex Luger defeated Ron Simmons in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Simmons pinned Luger in the first fall. Simmons was disqualified for throwing Luger over the top rope. Yes, they still did that. And then Luger pinned Simmons after a pile driver, 18 minutes, 59 seconds.
It is okay.
Okay? Yeah, it's okay.
It was actually pretty good.
1992, October 25th, they're back to the Civic Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They had Tom Zink, Johnny Gunn, and Shane Douglas defeating Arn Anderson, Michael Hayes, and Bobby Eaton in the pay-per-view opener.
And the faces got booed just like the I don't know, maybe something about Shane Douglas. People don't like him in Philly at that point.
What else did Johnny Gunn do besides this little run in WCW?
Salvatore Sincere.
Oh, that's right. He was Salvatore Sincere.
And he was Tom Brandy, like on the Indies forever. You know, you'd read those after mags, and his name Tom Brandy would always pop up on the independent shows.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw Tom Brandy defeat the Sultan at an army base around here many years ago, one of the indie shows Brian and I went to.
Was that Rikishi he was doing that gimmick, or was it just somebody else?
Yeah. No, it was Rikishi.
I remember later on, the Tom Brandy bought the Patriot gimmick from Dale Wilkes on the independent thing. So.
Yeah, you'll see shows where you'll see Salvatore Sincere wrestle, and then you also see the Patriot wrestle.
It's just like that's a gimmick you got to buy from somebody, the Patriot. Like saying, yeah, you know, like Mad Dude being the Invader. Like, okay, there's probably like 500 guys called that.
Yeah. There's a match on here that went 10 minutes, but I really wish it would have gone like 30 minutes. You know, Ricky Steamboat against Brian Pillman. I mean,
yeah, this is when Ron Pillman turned heel, and he was an awesome heel. He was—I don't know why how he was there, babyface. He's so awesome. He just had that. He just wanted to see somebody whip his ass.
I think his voice had a lot to do with it too.
So had
he was kind of like, and kind of in respect, he was kind of like, I don't understand how Lance Storm was ever a babyface.
Yeah.
There's something about Lance that when he was a baby, when he was a heel, said, "How was he ever a baby face?" And he's just,
yeah,
it's strange.
I get that. Also on the card, the NWA and WCW Tag Team Champions Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes, they fought Steve Williams and Steve Austin. Actually, it should be just Steve Williams times two, to a 10-minute draw, 30 minutes.
Because Steve had a second power for something.
Yeah.
Barry Windham and Dustin were an awesome tag team. I thought they were fantastic. They were just perfect for each other. And then, you know, Austin was so great at this time. And, you know, Dr. Death, you know, his Dr. Death, you know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah, I'd
supposed to be Terry Gordy, but he quit Terry Gordy had quit the company or breached his contract, and he got fired, so
yeah.
They put Steve Austin in there.
Rick Rude also defeated Masahiro Chono.
Horrible. I think it won the worst match of the year.
Why
was it so
bad,
though?
Minutes.
Because Rude was great at this time. Chono was good and had other, you know, good matches. Why did this just not work?
I think the pacing is just like rest hold after rest hold. You know, like chin lock after chin lock, and just, oh my God. It's terrible.
Did Buddy Wayne ever tell his story about wrestling Chono?
I don't think so. We wrestle him.
I can't remember. Probably in the Maritimes.
I know Chono, when he was younger, they would send some of the Japanese guys to like some of the southern or some of the territories here in the States to work
right.
A little bit.
It could have been up in the Vancouver territory up here in BC, or he could have done it on the Maritimes. But I know he went around the loop with Chono. And Chono, you know, didn't hardly speak any English, and the only broken English he could speak was high spook. And that's when Buddy would...
Did you say high spot?
High spook. That's the way Buddy tells the story. It's great. Anyway.
Hey, I remember some of those Japanese guys. It was like, I was watching Memphis once, and Hashimoto was working Memphis. It was like weird.
Speaking of Japan, you know, Ed, the New Japan, some of the New Japan guys were in your town a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I had to work that night.
Really?
I was planning on, I had plans to go to the show in Houston, but unfortunately shit fell through. But actually, to be honest with you, I got very disappointed when Kojima got hurt, because he was one that I really wanted to see, because Tenzan, you know, he's Tenzan, but he's broken down and he's pretty much a shell, whereas Kojima's still badass, but then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then they replaced him with Liger, which is still kind of cool, but, you know.
Yeah.
I ended up, you know, had to work that night, so I didn't get to see the show here.
Mm. Yeah, I was just curious. In the main event, we had Sting defeating Jake Roberts in a Coal Miner's Glove match, stealing Portland's gimmick.
I mean, actually, this was this match was it was spin the wheel, make the deal, the first one.
Right.
They spun the wheel and
What's funny match. Is they just talked about, Brian and Dave just talked about this, and someone asked, why didn't they rig the wheel?
Yeah,
and
the wheel.
Answer from Dave is they did rig the wheel. So someone thought that was a good idea to have a Coal Miner's Glove match between Sting and Jake the Snake.
Right.
I never liked those matches with the Sting on the pole. I don't know, maybe Russo has ruined it for me.
You didn't like fucking when Buff Judy Bagwell was on the pole?
On the forklift?
Yeah.
I don't want to
I like
see
when
Judy
the boxes
Bagwell
were on the
pole
ever. And the WCW title was held up and the boxes were on a pole, and one of them had the title in it, and you had to get the box, and if the title was in it, you won the title. And there was a
didn't
picture of John Hall
have one
the
where,
boxes.
Didn't TNA have one where if you got the you went and got the briefcase and you got fired for it?
Yeah, feast or fired.
The only woman I want to see on a pole is working her way through college.
I want to say a lot.
One of the boxes in the WCW title match, one of the boxes had a picture of Scott Hall in it. I never understood that. Still don't.
Oh, my gosh. In 1993, the Halloween Havoc took place October 24th at the Lakefront Arena in New Orleans, Louisiana. Hi, Rodney. They had Ice Train, Charlie North, and the Shockmaster defeating Harlem Heat and the Equalizer.
And this is when Harlem Heat was Cole and Kane, not Booker T and Stevie Ray.
Yeah.
And the Equalizer is Evad before he became Hulk Hogan's cousin or whatever. No, Kevin Sullivan. What was he? He was Kevin Sullivan's brother, right?
He was dyslexic because they called him Ebad.
Yeah. But he's from your neck of the woods, Craig. I mean, he was in Portland for a long time. I would see his name in the aftermags there. But the face team, basically Ice Train, was this big, jacked-up black guy.
Huge.
Who went toot, or I forgot what he was. But he was Big E, like Big E, but just not as awesome as Big E. Charlie Norris was Native American Indian, came with the headgear and everything. And I used to read his name in the After Mags and the rankings for the territories. And then the Shockmaster, of course, is Tugboat, who, when he decided to stop being a tugboat and went and got a Stormtrooper helmet and
That's right.
I don't know what the hell he wore around him.
No good.
And has the most famous blooper spot of all time.
Yeah, I was on YouTube yesterday, and they had this this 30 minutes of Opie and Anthony watching wrestling bloopers. If anybody's interested in that, you should go and check it out because it's funny as hell. And the Shockmaster, they played that like 4 times.
And back home at the Reynolds family, Cody was going, "Hey, that's Uncle Fred."
Yeah, that was, but that's where the idea of WrestleCrap came from. That's the moment right there. I think more than anything that people remember. That might be one of the most memorable moments in professional wrestling history.
Very, very possible.
Even if he came through the wall and did not fall down, the gimmick was stupid. I mean, Jesus. Thank God he fell down and they couldn't push him into the main eventer after that. Just had to call him Uncle Fred. He was a construction worker that was always spilling drinks or he's falling down or something.
Yeah.
I remember I saw him very, very early in his career. He wrestled San Antonio as, the Terminator.
He's Bubba.
Yeah, and he was I actually thought he was going to be awesome, I mean, but I guess the tugboat gimmick really killed him in the end.
He's Dusty Rhodes' brother-in-law, so.
Big Steel Man, that's what he was called back in the day.
Yeah, he also worked Memphis as Big Bubba.
Notice we're running fairly short on time, so I will just gloss over the few here and go straight to the main event. We had Steven Regal going to a time limit draw with Davey Boy Smith. Dusty Rhodes and Steve Austin defeated Steve Austin to retain the U.S. Heavyweight Championship. It's Sting defeating Sid Vicious. Rick Rude defeated Ric Flair by disqualification. And in the main event, Vader defeated Cactus Jack in a awesome Texas Death Match.
Yeah, that was awesome. Great. But to me, the most memorable thing besides on this show was a match you kind of skipped, and that's Missy Hyatt looks so goddamn hot on this show.
That's not a match, Ed.
She was smoking.
It is a match. You didn't get two things that match. Come on.
Yeah. In the main event, it was the Texas Death Match, as I said, and Vader won. He pinned Jack on the stage with the DDT, but Harley Race actually tasered Cactus Jack so he would stay down.
Because he had to get up for the 10 count.
Yeah.
This match was good, but it wasn't as good as the two TV ones.
I don't know. I thought this was the best one.
I don't know. The one where, Jesse Ventura freaked out and, when he powerbomb
on the floor.
Yeah, powerbomb on the, yeah. That match was just, I don't know, that match was awesome.
That's because he really beat the shit out of the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So the best, most memorable thing of this match was Vader was busted open. They had the stage where they had all these tombstones there for decorations, and one of them said Vader. And Vader got knocked underneath the stage, and then he's coming up
out of the stage right where his tombstone was. So it looked like he's rising from the dead with his head split open. It was awesome.
Yeah. Pretty
visual. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Havoc 1994 took place October 23rd at the Joe in Detroit, Michigan. And let me see here. Johnny B. Badd fought the Honky Tonk Man to a time limit draw.
Okay. Oh, man.
Dave Sullivan defeated Kevin Sullivan. Yeah.
Okay.
Jim
You're
Dutton
forgetting the awesome names of Pretty Wonderful and Stars and Stripes.
I was trying to gloss over those. let me see. Oh, Jim Duggan defeated Steve Austin.
This is the beginning of the end for me as being a WCW fan.
I'm waiting for you to get something good.
The Nasty Boys defeated Terry Funk and Buckhouse Buck.
Okay, this was actually pretty decent because Terry Funk was in there. He took
right.
a pile, got pile driven into a pumpkin.
You did gloss over the Big Boss Man when he went from being a prison guard to being a guardian angel.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I totally forgot about that.
And then
that.
He did skits with, like, the guardian angels walking around, like, the subway and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't like the angel on your shoulder because he would, you know, break your back. He was, you know, one of the guardian angels, like downtown Chicago, one of those kind of guardian angels. Yeah. With little LeBray. And then the main event, Hulk Hogan defeated Ric Flair in a steel cage. It was a career match. Yeah.
And by the end of this match, I was definitely more of a WWE fan than WCW.
True. Yeah, that was no good. And then we went to 1995, October 29th, Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan, back in the same spot. Johnny B. Badd defeated DDP.
A major travesty of justice with the Sabu and Jerry Lynn only getting 3 minutes.
Yeah, but do you trust Sabu on live TV at this point?
At that point, yeah. He was still good at that point.
Okay. I don't know. Randy Savage defeated the Zodiac. This went 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Wait, who beat the Zodiac? Oh, Randy Savage.
Savage.
The Zodiac. The Zodiac basically was Brutus Beefcake doing a missing link gimmick.
Right.
I just remember here a fan hit the ring and the referee tackled him. Got rid of
him. Who was the referee? Was it Hildebrandt?
I think it was actually Randy Anderson. Because Smoky Mountain was still around at this point, so Hildebrandt would have been there.
Who is
Kurosawa?
Manabu Nakanishi.
Oh, okay. That's right.
He's a big dude.
Yeah. I can't even fathom this match. I must go back and watch it. Lex Luger defeated Ming. 13 minutes this went.
Which one, Luger and Ming?
Yeah.
Ming's awesome.
Well, he's in there with Luger.
That is true.
Luger's awesome.
Yeah. When?
1989, when he worked with Ricky Steamboat.
Okay, this was 7 years later. Yeah, this is the one Hulk Hogan defeated the Giant in a sumo monster truck match. Yeah,
the roof.
Heard that right.
Yeah, and then he threw the Giant off, and somehow the Giant caught like a wind shift or something and ended up in the river miles away.
Right.
Yeah. Did he end up in Canada?
No. Yeah, and in the main event, the Giant defeated Hulk Hogan by disqualification.
says to win the WCW Heavyweight Championship.
And then him and the Yeti gangbang Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Jimmy Hart was Hogan's manager, and he had thrown in, unbeknown to anybody, into the contract Hogan signed that it was going to be one of those matches where the DQ rule is waived and you can lose the title on DQ.
Mm-hmm.
So he, in the match, he turned on Hogan. But but instead they didn't reverse the decision, but they held the title up for the World War III ring battle royal.
Okay, I have to read this. This is word for word off the Wikipedia page. After the match, the Yeti came to the ring and assisted the Giant in hugging Hogan so that they were both hugging Hogan at the same time.
Yeah, but like I said, they were gangbanging Hulk Hogan. Hulk
they
Hogan was doing
him,
a deep. He was doing a DP scene on paper.
Oh,
and I don't know if whoever came up with this gimmick, they actually know what a Yeti is. A Yeti
yeah,
is not
they should have got a guy in like a
furry
white
costume.
Gorilla costume or something, but somehow a Bigfoot got turned into a 7 foot tall mummy.
A mummy.
Yeah, they
should have
called whoever. One of them goofball things that Brian went on where they got the guy in the Harry and the Henderson's outfit running around scaring the marks in the woods by shaking the trees or something.
You just gave me an amazing idea, by the way.
Well, what is it?
I don't know. It's
you don't know the idea I just gave you. That don't make no sense.
Oh no! I thought you were talking about what he called, you know, Brian going into the woods with these other guys. No, I will rent a gorilla.
A Bigfoot circle jerk.
Brian's a pivot man. Anyway, I'm going to rent a gorilla costume next time Brian decides to go into the woods. You fill in the blanks from there. Anyway. Halloween Havoc 1996, October 27th, from the MGM Grand Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. And first match, Psychosis and Juventud defeated Damien and Halloween.
I bet that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I know that was.
Dean Malenko defeated Rey Mysterio Jr. To win the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. Top rope powerbomb to win the match.
They always make great matches.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
And DDP defeating Eddie Guerrero. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Six defeated Chris Jericho. 9 minutes, 49 seconds.
That's probably a good match.
Probably. Steve McMichael and Chris Benoit defeated the Face of the Fear, who were Ming and the Barbarian.
Did Steve McMichael make this
Michael
a bad match?
Chris
you got three awesome guys and Steve McMichael.
Steve McMichael, that's right. The Outsiders, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, defeating Harlem Heat, Booker T, and Stevie Ray to win the tag team championships.
Yep, this is when they were first, the NWO was taken off.
Right. And in the main event, Hollywood Hulk Hogan defeated Randy Savage to retain the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. Hogan pinned Savage after the Giant chokeslammed Savage to the floor. And then Giant dragged the unconscious Hogan on top of Savage.
That's when Roddy Piper made his debut. When he came back.
Okay. By the way, Ed and I both have notes in front of us. Couturier does not.
That's right.
Just saying. Halloween Havoc 1997, October 26th, from the MGM Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Lots of New Japan guys on the show. Yuji Nagata defeated the Ultimo Dragon in 9:42.
Chris Jericho defeating Jeddo with the Lion Tamer 7 minutes 18 seconds.
Oh, God. Jericho almost killed himself in this match.
Yes, he did.
He was doing the, he was like the Super Frankensteiner when both guys are standing on the top rope. And he did the rotation and did the Frankensteiner, but he was coming down too fast, I think. It looked like he almost broke himself in half.
Yeah.
Scary. It's something you got to go back and watch to fully comprehend what it was. So I can't do it justice.
Yeah. The way he fell just did not look right.
Yeah.
He had Rey Mysterio defeating Eddie Guerrero in a mask versus title match. He won the WCW Cruiserweight Championship.
This is like one of the greatest matches of all time.
Yeah, this is like one. This may be like the best Cruiserweight match I've ever seen.
Yeah, Rey hit some shit I don't think he's ever done besides this match.
Yeah.
And
they had to follow it with like one of the greatest matchmakings of all time with Alex Wright versus Steve McMichael. That had to have been horrible.
God.
Not to be outdone by Jacqueline defeating the Disco Inferno in 9 minutes and 39 seconds. Unbelievable. Kurt Hennig defeated Ric Flair by DQ to retain the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship. And Luger defeated Scott Hall. And Randy Savage defeating Diamond Dallas Page in a Las Vegas sudden death match.
And that's pretty good news, I thought, back then. Those two.
Yeah. Yeah,
was this the one that was supposed to have, like, razor wire or barbed wire or something on the top of the cage or something?
No, I don't think so.
And in one of the worst things that I have ever seen, Roddy Piper defeated Hollywood Hulk Hogan in a steel cage match. Piper won with a sleeper hold.
This match was already really horrible, but it came, like, 3 weeks after the first Hell in a Cell match, so it, like, it was so upset. Horrible, it just, like, amplified 10 times.
Yeah. Yeah, this is when WCW started to go bad.
Yeah. Randy Savage did a axe handle from the top of this cage. They used the Thunderdome cage from the first Halloween Havoc. He jumped off the top, and you wonder why he had knee problems later on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, once that cocaine starts going, you start flowing and you get into it and you think you're superhuman.
Well.
1998, October 25th, again from the MGM Grand Arena in Las Vegas. Oh, my gosh, there's a lot of crap on the show.
There's a lot
Billy
of dark
Kidman
matches.
Defeated. There's a ton of dark matches. Man, Raven, Chris Jericho defeated Raven, Wrath defeated Mang, Disco defeated Juventud, Alex Wright defeated Viv Finley, Barry Saturn defeated Lodi. And then,
you know what,
finally,
I would love to, I'm sorry, I would love to see a match between Viv Finley and Alex Wright's dad. I bet that'd be one hell of a fucking exhibition.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with Alex Wright. I thought he was a very good wrestler.
Yeah, he was good.
He was okay, but nothing compared to his dad. His dad was fantastic. I would love to see him and Finley have a match.
I've never seen his dad.
Can't say that I have either. Rick Steiner and Buff Bagwell defeated the Giant and Scott Steiner to win the tag titles.
Buff Bagwell was his partner early in the match and turned on him. And then he came back later with a Richard Nixon mask on him and attacked him.
And then right after that,
I don't understand what
Rick
I just
Steiner,
said, but that's what happened.
Right after that, Rick Steiner defeated Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
Scott Hall defeated Kevin Nash by countout.
This is when he was doing the drunk in the ring. They were doing that thing.
Okay. Okay, okay.
I remember when he vomited on Bischoff.
You know, now, you know, after you've seen everything that he's, all the trouble he's gotten into, it starts to make me wonder if all that drunken stuff was a work or if it was a shoot, as far as him actually, you know, puking on him for real.
Mm-hmm. I just question, the dish had problems. Why are you turning this into a storyline? That don't make no sense to me.
Yeah,
I just remember
that's wrong.
Yeah, and then later, you remember when Flair was leaving the crazy house, and just out of the blue, Scott Hall just sitting there with all the crazy people on the bus?
Yeah, just there was nothing that was followed up on. It didn't lead to anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a sight gag, and they probably paid him $100,000 just to do that skit. You wonder why they're out of fucking business.
Speaking of sight gags, Hulk Hogan defeated the Warrior. 14 minutes, 18 seconds. This was no good.
This was not WrestleMania 6.
No. And
Pat Patterson did not put this match together.
That's right. And Hogan threw the worst fireball in history. Or at least he tried
That's
to.
That's true. The main event, Goldberg defeated Diamond Dallas Page to retain the World Heavyweight Champion. Went about 10 minutes and 29 seconds.
And they were entering the ring when the show went off the air.
That's right. Oops.
I don't know who or why. They wanted to do a 3.5-hour show, but didn't tell the cable company.
Right.
Somebody.
Yeah, you gotta smarten them up when you're gonna do that.
Yeah. One of the things that we were watching that, and like 2 minutes into the match.
Right.
Show's over.
Yeah.
But then it switched back to like the replay started like right afterwards. But it just flipped back. It just went back and it showed the match. So it was only like a couple of minutes when it was the gong. But I know a lot of people didn't see it. There was some talk like they did that on purpose so they could, cause, you know, the WWF had made the comeback and was beating them in the ratings so they could show that Goldberg and DDP match for free the next night and do a big rating. These sound like stupid ideas. I don't know why people think this shit works.
Well, you remember the Robin Hood thing?
Oh my God, that was terrible.
Yeah, that was bad.
Because you had to watch Robin. You have to watch Robin Hood, and then you can watch the rest of the match.
Yeah.
During the break on Robin Hood, they had Hulk Hogan against the Giant, and the Hulk, and this went on for like 40 minutes. Hulk Hogan and the Giant did not wrestle for 40 minutes, people. I'm sorry to tell you. During the commercial, they would show the match. And then they had some other show, like Assault on Devil's Island, which was one of those Hogan original movies. And they said during one of the commercial breaks, they'll sign the contract for Sting and Hogan for the Starcade. I said, I've got to sit for the fucking shitty Hogan movie to see the signing. I said, I'll skip it.
Well,
I ain't doing that.
Well, let me interrupt you, since you keep interrupting Craig, who's trying to tell me to do the plugs here. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the Stream Our Show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks Show. So check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download the Stream Our Show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrer, and you can see older episodes at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or at Ed in San Antonio.
And check me out on Twitter. Just type in Proper Jam and you'll find me. It's where I do all my wrestling and music-related stuff. And stick around for the next few minutes, and we'll finish up the last two Halloween Havocs. Katrina, the floor is yours.
Katrina35 on Twitter. You can go to youtube.com/Katrina. Got a bunch of old stuff up there you can watch. And on Xbox Live under Katrina, I've been playing a lot of multiplayer on Halo 4 the last couple of days, been having fun doing it. So, been getting into multiplayer stuff online. So,
damn, we got them all in there in 1 minute. Wow.
There you go. And by the way, the new WWE 2K14 game is so much fun. Absolutely love it.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, I went and grabbed it. Yeah, it's just fun.
It's like it replays all those, you can do all those classic Mania matches, and it's got the same look and everything as the match.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, last night I had Antonio Cesaro on top of a ladder with Roman Reigns, and he did a backdrop suplex through the table below, which popped my son. So, yeah, good times. The only way I can get him to pop nowadays. Anyway, Halloween Havoc 1999 took place October 24th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. You might be sensing a pattern here. And, oh, wow. Disco Inferno defeated Lash LaRue to retain the Cruiserweight Championship. I forgot all about Lash LaRue.
He was one of the guys Rick Steiner beat the shit out of on the last couple of Nitros.
Rick Steiner?
Rick Steiner?
Yeah. That's what you said.
Rob Rick Steiner.
Harlem Heat defeated the Filthy Animals, who were Billy Kidman and Conan. The first family was Brian Knobbs and Hugh Morris in a triple threat street fight to win the vacant WCW World Tag Team Champions. Triple threat street fight takes exactly 5 minutes and 2 seconds, if you were wondering.
This was Russo's first pay-per-view, by the way, WCW.
It's all making sense now. All making sense now. That's why they would let Eddie Guerrero and Perry Saturn go to a disqualification in 11 minutes and 12 seconds.
Yeah, because Ric Flair came out with a crowbar because Eddie stole his watch. And he got his watch back.
That's right.
And they buried Flair in the desert.
Right. Brad Armstrong defeated Berlin.
Was he doing the stoner gimmick, or was he just Brad Armstrong?
I think he was just Brad Armstrong right now. Very shortly after, they made him the Buzzkill character.
Yeah.
Mm.
It broke my heart.
That's awesome. Oh, man. I need to go back and find this. Rick Steiner defeated Chris Benoit to win the WCW World Television Championship.
Dean Malenko turned on Benoit and hit him with a chair.
Jeez.
Unprotected in the head. I think that's the one that done it. And he flipped.
Think so? Or one of the 1,500 after that?
If any of them made him flip, it was the one Chris Jericho gave him on the toupee.
Ooh. Yeah. The Total Package defeated Bret Hart. Yep. Sting defeated Hulk Hogan to retain...
Hulk Hogan laid down in the ring.
That's right. Laid down. 3 seconds it took to win. Oh, here's another one I need to go back and watch. The Goldberg defeated Sid Vicious to win the U.S. Heavyweight Championship.
This was actually really awesome because Sid juiced in this match, and it was like the whole story with all the blood was bleeding all over the place, and they had to stop the match. It was actually pretty dramatic if you go back and watch it.
Hmm. DDP with his amazing wife, Kimberly Page. Man, I miss her. Defeated Ric Flair in a strap match. 12 minutes and 49 seconds.
And Flair juiced, and they did not stop the match. So, a lack of continuity here.
And Goldberg defeated World Heavyweight Champion Sting in an impromptu match. Went 3 minutes and 8 seconds. Goldberg
to win the world title.
After the jackhammer.
And we have, and then after all the shenanigans at the end, you had your first restart with Russo.
Yeah, because it was said that the title wasn't actually on the line. It was just a match with Sting and Goldberg, so they held the title up and did like a 32-man tournament. I think about the Vince Russo booking, and there's a 32-man tournament. That's not going to end well. Medusa was in the tournament. She, like, lost twice and advanced to the second round.
Hmm. Makes sense.
That was one where Bret Hart won the tournament. So.
As we go into the 2000 Halloween Havoc, October 29th from the MGM in Las Vegas, on Wikipedia they have all the promotional posters up by the
by the events. This one eerily looks like Sting. Well, it's Sting, but it eerily looks like Jeff Hardy. And this looks like a TNA poster.
Oh, so it's pretty bad.
Yeah, and the thing that really ticks me off is the amount of money for the pay-per-view, $29.95. I could almost stomach that. The $54 that I'm paying now is bothersome to me.
Yep.
Well, hell, back then I had a nice little box where I got to watch all of these ones for free.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
I had a DirecTV card program back in the day.
I had a buddy who had a programmer and reader in his office, so when they mixed up the codes, he would get back on his computer, put the card in the reader, and reprogram the thing and have it up and running in 15, 20 minutes. It was ridiculous. Anyway, 2000.
You could just watch whatever you wanted.
Oh, yeah. It was
pay-per-view movies and porn you can watch.
Explains a lot about that guy. Anyway, the Natural Born Thrillers, Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare, they defeated the Filthy Animals, Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio Jr. And Boogie Nights, The Disco.
They were awesome.
And Alex Wright in a triangle match. O'Hare,
Alex Wright and
Disco
Inferno were one of the best things at this time on Nitro. They were so awesome doing their dance-off.
O'Hare pinned Disco after a senton bomb. Not to be confused with a swanton bomb, by the way.
It was a shonton bomb.
You're right. You're right. It is a shonton bomb. What were they thinking?
Who the fuck was Sergeant Gable?
I just couldn't stomach those guys for some reason. I feel they were just thrown out on TV after being nobodies and in this big group, and I don't know. I just wasn't anybody I liked in there. Mike Sanders was fucking annoying.
Yeah.
We had Reno defeating Sergeant AWOL.
Who is Sergeant AWOL?
AEW Hardcore Championship. Oh my gosh, AWOL, Sergeant AWOL.
Who was Sergeant
the wall?
Oh, the wall. Okay.
He was the wall in Canada.
You had Sergeant AWOL. You had Major Stash, who was Van Hammer. You had Corporal Cajun, who was Lash LaRue. Lieutenant Loco, who was Chavo.
Major Gun.
General Hugh G. Rection.
That's right.
Jesus Christ. Can't believe that name ever made it on TV. That's appalling.
And then the Perfect Event. I don't even remember them having
perfect
that
event.
Name.
Sean
the Perfect
Stasiak
Event was
Chuck
Palumbo and Sean Stasiak.
Right.
Meet.
The Misfits in Action defeated them, and Loco pinned Stasiak after Tornado DDT. The Filthy Animals come in and
sucked at this time. My God, this is horrible.
The Filthy Animals, Conan and Tigress, defeated Shane Douglas and Tori Wilson.
Okay.
Who was Tigress? Was that just one of the Nitro Girls?
I have no idea.
I remember they had an elimination match with like the Filthy Animals against the Natural Born Thrillers, and Tigress was part of the Filthy Animals team, and she pinned like three of the guys in like 15 seconds. It was like the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. I said, please kill this company. Please, somebody, I don't know, just go under.
Yeah. Buff Bagwell defeated David Flair in a First Blood DNA match.
He needed to know who the father of Stacy's baby was.
That's right.
So they needed the DNA match, and they needed some blood. So you had to cut
That's
your
right.
opponent up open, and you got to put the blood in a vial and then take it to a lab to get it.
Uh-huh.
Horrible.
Mike Sanders defeated Ernest Miller by countout via in a kickboxing match. I'm sorry. Third round, 2 minutes into the third round.
Okay, somebody's definitely booking this just to put this company under.
Miller was counted out while brawling with Shane Douglas. What?
And then somehow this made Sanders the commissioner?
I don't know.
I think so. Commissioner of what? A shitty wrestling company. That's what you're commissioner of.
And then, of course, there's Lance doing the job.
I can't believe I actually watched this shit back then. I was still watching WCW. I had no idea why. I guess I had,
it was free. We had a box. It was
I was free. Like one of the, I don't know, I was like one of the people that cut themselves, I guess.
Mike Awesome defeated Vampiro. We need to ask Lance about this. General Rection defeated Lance Storm and Jim Duggan. Why Major Guns was with Jim Duggan, I have no idea.
He was Team Canada.
Oh, that's right.
Major Guns was in the MIA, but then she switched, and
okay.
Axel Duggan had turned on Hugh Morris the previous month, and so.
Okay. Anyway, this is a handicap match, and General Rection won the United States Heavyweight Championship.
What was the match right before this one that you said?
Awesome, Mike Awesome defeated Vampiro.
That's when he got those concussions.
I think so, yeah. Because
I think it was a powerbomb on the top rope, and he just and then they made him wrestle do the same night and do the same finish.
Yep, that's what happened.
Go back and listen to the Observer Lives of Vampiro at this time. He's out of it.
He's always been a little out of it.
I don't care much for him. I didn't see what anybody saw on him.
I agree. I actually do agree.
I thought he was on
that. I think the stories about him jumping out of a second-story window and the mafia after him or the Mexican mafia after him, I think it's complete and utter BS.
No need bodyguards for Milli Vanilli. They probably needed bodyguards after the truth came out.
Maybe.
Right.
Jeff Jarrett defeated Sting and pinned him after a guitar shot.
This was they did the gimmick where, like they had bogus things come out. It's kind of like the Surfer Sting and then the Crow Sting. And this was no good.
Booker T defeated Scott Steiner, and I can't for the life of me remember Medasia. That was his second. Who was that?
One of his freaks?
Yeah,
it was her and April Hunter, but she was the one that, like, stuck around longer.
Yeah.
Was she the black girl?
No.
No? Oh, I'm thinking of Kurt Angle. I'm sorry. Never mind. Never mind. And, in the main event, Goldberg defeated Chronic, Brian Adams, Brian Clark, in a handicap elimination match. This main event went 3 minutes and 35 seconds. Yeah.
And that was too long.
Thank God that's the last one. If they were in business the next year, I can't even imagine what they would have booked.
Yeah, no kidding.
That was painful. That was the worst hour of radio I've ever done.
I need to go back and read this chapter from WCW around this time.
I wish a new one comes out. Unbelievable.
We don't have to read them. We'll just get Brian on the show and make him tell us what happened.
Like he'll know without looking at something.
Yeah, he is pretty
sick. And that was it. That's it.
Cool.
Okay. Bye.
I guess we'll go ahead and end the show. We'll be back next week.
Did you guys see the X-Men trailer?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, the Captain America.
No, the X-Men trailer.
Oh, I have not. Have you seen the Captain America trailer?
Yes.
Yeah, that one looks pretty good, too.
That looks amazing.
So basically, Wolverine's like going back in time in somebody else's body or something.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
It seems like the story is that he needs to go back and convince the professor to start the school or, seemed like whatever what he was doing. I don't know what he was.
Yeah, anyway.
Strange.
He still looks pretty good, though. So, but anyway, we'll have something for next week. I'm supposed to get with Court and see when we can get him on this month. So maybe we'll have him on next week or pretty soon. But we'll have something next week. So everybody come back in a week.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the mountain shit. Let's go hook him up! I will attack you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.